Hey there, podcast family. T-Bone here to talk about the 3D Dentist Digital Implant Continuum. Are you ready to start placing dental implants, but feeling a bit hesitant and or overwhelmed? I know that feeling. I've been there. Let's change that together. Imagine not just learning about dental implants in a classroom, but actually performing surgeries on real patients right here in North Carolina, guided every step of the way by our expert 3D mentors. This is dental implant learning at its best, using techniques that are safe, predictable, and confidence-boosting. They're exactly what I use in my own practice, so you know they work. Our course goes beyond clinical skills. We prepare you to successfully integrate high-demand implant services into your practice, transforming your career by attracting new patients and elevating your practice. And it doesn't end with the course. Completing our program is just the beginning of a new journey. You'll be a part of a community of confident, skilled dentists with ongoing support to ensure lasting success and growth. After all, this is about mastering a skill that can transform your career, just like it did for me. So, are you ready to take your practice to the next level? Visit www.3d-dentist.com, check out our upcoming sessions, and join us to revolutionize your practice. 3D Dentist is truly committed to helping dentists take control of their practice, finances, and future. Now let's get back to this week's episode.
Welcome to T-Bone Speaks with Dr. Tarun Agarwal, where our goal is to change the way you practice dentistry by helping you achieve clinical, financial, and personal balance. Now, here's your host, T-Bone.
All right. Welcome back for another episode on our podcast. And today we're going to be joined by Dr. Holly Baller, shot caller, apparently.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks to my hubby.
In your own words, you said shot caller, right?
Yes,
Do you watch the show on Showtime?
No.
HBO, actually.
Ballers. Oh, Ballers.
With Rock.
I have a couple of times, yep.
No, you should watch that. It's awesome.
Yep.
My wife loves Dwayne Johnson.
I know. Who doesn't?
I don't personally love him, you know, but you know, I wouldn't mind kind of being that. I mean, maybe.
Right.
He seems to have it figured out to a certain degree. But I think that's all a facade, right? We don't always have it figured out.
Right. I agree.
So, Holly, you're from Denver, Colorado?
Yes.
2016 graduate?
Yep.
From the University of Colorado?
Yes.
How'd you end up in Colorado?
My dad's job, about 17, 18 years ago. We moved out here from upstate New York.
Okay. So you moved from one cold place to another slightly less cold place.
The weather here is 1,000 times better. There's more sun. It's just dark and dreary and cold in Buffalo. So,
all right, Holly, I want to talk to you about a couple of things. Today, while you're here, you were here in Raleigh at our training center with Implant Pathway with Justin and Mike and those guys.
Mm-hmm.
How'd you hear about Justin?
A little bit on Dental Town.
Okay.
And then someone that used to work for Clear Choice told me about that you don't have to go out of the country anymore to place implants for training. So that was
Why'd you want to get into implants?
Well, I think that that's where dentistry is heading with all the baby boomers aging. We're going to have a much larger elderly population. So I feel like a lot of dentistry is going to revolve around replacing missing teeth.
Do you think a lot of your classmates are taking implant training 2 years out of school?
I don't think so. Maybe a handful of people.
Okay. And you didn't just take implant training like a weekend course. You took like a multiple weekend course. Are you doing the live patient program as well?
Yep. So the
continuum. You're kind of going all the way in.
Yep.
So I wouldn't say it's a outrageous investment, but at the end of the day, it's a big investment.
Yep.
How'd that decision process go for you?
Well, baller, shot caller, you gotta go home.
I love that.
So, no,
but
I just
even
think
more
that,
so as an associate, you're making that decision.
Well, why, you know, just do a little bit of training? Why not get the best training that you can so you can provide the best care to your patients? So,
did you come out of school with student loans?
Yes.
Okay. I bring these things up because I don't disagree with you, but I'm tired of, and I say this every time, okay? I'm tired of hearing over and over from young dentists that I can't take training or I can't take as much training or I can't take the best of the best training because I'm burdened with debt.
And I'm an associate, so what's the point of doing now? And what I'm hearing from you is that you came out of school with debt, you are an associate now, and you said, hey, let's just go in and go in all the way because you see the lifetime value of learning this skill.
Well, if you can have extra tools in your toolbox to help your patients, that's only going to increase your production, which is going to increase, you know, you paying off your loans quicker and things like that.
So it's going to increase your income.
Exactly.
Because you have an associateship where you're getting paid maybe a daily minimum, but also the majority of your pay is based on a percentage of production/collections.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So let's talk about your unique situation as an associate.
Mm-hmm.
So, I've never heard of this before. So for our listeners and viewers, you work 3 days in a general dentist practice and 2 days in an orthodontist practice, not an orthodontics practice, because that could be a GP practice that does ortho, but you're truly in a specialist practice with an orthodontist. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about the 2 days in the orthodontist practice.
Well, I started working for him about 13 years ago before I wasn't even in dental school.
Were you an assistant, front office?
I kind of did everything, but I mostly did treatment coordinating and marketing.
And so the story gets deeper.
Yes. Yeah, and he allowed me to have flexible hours where I could go undergrad because I wanted to go to dental school. Mm-hmm. And
so how old were you when you started working there?
I was 20, just almost 21.
Okay.
Yep. So he has an amazing philosophy that is based on airway and function.
Early interceptive ortho.
Well, early interceptive ortho came a little bit later. We were always treating patients that way, doing a lot of expansion. We also expand adults, which a lot of people, there's a misconception that you can't expand adults because that suture closes, but we've expanded thousands of adults with
stable
results.
When you say expanding, you're talking about true expansion, not
true
tilting?
Yep. So like a Schwartz appliance where it applies pressure on the palate versus like a RPE, rapid palatal expander that
Thank you
applies.
For clarifying that because I didn't know what that was.
So it tips the teeth out.
That's what RPE does.
Well, yeah. I mean, you can get some expansion, but the pressure is applied to the teeth because it's a cemented appliance.
So of course, that's going to go
so
first.
You're going to have a little bit more tipping. And you can only get a lot more lateral expansion as opposed to, you know, I see a lot of kids or adults that are class 3 and they need that forward growth and expansion. And the Schwartz appliance can accommodate that.
Where'd you learn all this?
Through Dr. Kent Lawson, who I worked for.
Kent Lawson
in Aurora. Yep.
You didn't learn this in school?
No.
Did you take classes or did you learn directly from him or both?
Directly from him. And then after I graduated dental school, I came back. He opened up a brand new practice called New Early Orthodontics.
New Early Orthodontics.
Yep. And it's based off of his philosophy, but there's a paradigm shift in dentistry going on right now that deals a lot with airway. Yeah. And there's so many studies that coming out that if you treat a kiddo between the ages of 5 and 7, you know, 90%+ of those kids never need braces because you address the root cause of why the teeth are the way they are, which is typically soft tissue dysfunction. Mouth breathing, tongue issues, muscles in your face and cheeks and neck, tongue ties. I do a lot of phrenectomies every month.
On infants even?
On infants too,
We're doing some of that in our practice.
Yep. So it's changing the way we do dentistry, and it's very preventative, which in the United States, I feel like we're not very preventative.
No, we're more prescription-based, right?
Exactly. And I see that a ton because some of the kiddos that come into my practice, they're super high strung. They're
ADHD.
They're diagnosed ADHD, but a lot of times it's misdiagnosed ADHD because these kiddos, they don't breathe properly. They're getting up to 40% less oxygen while they sleep.
Is 12 too late for this?
It's not too late, but the earlier, the better. So
I'm just trying to think about my own son here.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we can talk about that. No, I think that it's a benefit at any age. I mean, there's some adults that even benefit from it. It just takes a lot longer, and the movement of teeth is slower. If we can guide those teeth into the correct position as they're coming in, it's just much more effective.
And I would say probably the correct position is a little more forgiving on a child.
In terms of the
occlusion and the bite and things like that?
Yeah, so like the Sharpie's fibers that hold the adult teeth, it's best if the teeth come in where they should. as opposed to shifting or trying to break those Sharpie fibers down the road. That's why there's so many adults with retreats.
Relapse,
because the Sharpie fibers kind of have memory that to move the teeth back to where they originally erupted. Also, you don't address the root cause of why the teeth are the way they are, which is soft tissue dysfunction. So like the tongue exerts 500 grams of pressure. Do you know how many grams of pressure it takes to move a tooth?
Probably what, 400?
No, under two.
Under 200.
It's like 1.8, 1.9.
Oh, so, 1.8 pounds of pressure.
Yes.
Not even 200.
Grams.
Grams, yeah.
So, and it's 500 grams of pressure your tongue exerts. So say you have an anterior tongue thrust and it's just pushing through your teeth every time you swallow, that your bite opens up. So then sometimes with orthodontics, we can close that bite, but soon after, their tongue keeps pushing. And it exactly, it's the bully in the mouth. And if you don't address that, then there's people that will still try to address this, the swallowing and the tongue thrust, but then don't realize that they have a tongue tie. So the tongue is still tied down. So it's hard when you swallow, your tongue should go to your palate. Mm-hmm. And really that's where your tongue should live all the time, unless you're talking or eating.
Well, that's how we develop deep bites, is the tongue sits on the back during development, sits on the posterior molars. Oh, posterior molars is oxymoron, but the lower molars. Then we have eruption of the anterior teeth, and then we, by keeping the tongue, keeps the posterior teeth down. So that's one cause.
Well, your whole facial development, especially with mouth breathers, you can kind of tell they have longer faces because everything grows a little bit, grows down, and they have a gummy smile because of their face just growing long. So I can spot, you know, kiddos, their molar class relationship from a mile away. It's so funny. I go and talk to pediatricians, and half of them are on board, half of them still want to, you know, give kids Ritalin. But my son even got it. I don't know why the pediatricians can't get it, because he was like, I think our dog needs a MyoBrace, Mom. He is mouth breathing all the time.
But the dogs, yeah. I think they breathe that way, right?
Right.
All right, so let's you said the word MyoBrace. I want to come back to that because I want to get into the treatment of this. But this, what you're talking about, early orthodontics, whatever you want to talk, functional orthodontics, whatever we want to talk about, however you want to call it. I'm sorry, I don't know the technical name.
No, you're good.
What do you guys call yourselves, the people that do this type of orthodontics?
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hey, podcast family. T-Bone here. Are you a dentist looking to elevate your practice and profits? Then pay close attention. Introducing the 3D Business Mastermind, the dental business coaching program designed for dentists who want to see real results. I've walked the path of practice ownership for nearly 25 years. I know your challenges. I felt your pain. This is your opportunity to overcome the chaos, the busyness, and the financial frustrations of owning a dental practice. Imagine a dental practice where your appointment book is highly productive, doing the dentistry you enjoy, your team is self-motivated, and your profits keep climbing. That's what the 3D Business Mastermind is all about. In this exclusive mastermind, you'll join a league of ambitious dentists driven to elevate their practices. You'll gain access to proven strategies, personalized coaching, and a community that understands your journey. So if you're ready to supercharge your dental practice and enjoy the success you deserve, visit www.3d-dentists.com and take the first step towards a brighter future in dentistry by filling out the 3D Business Mastermind application. Now, let's get to this week's episode.
Well, we started off trying to explain to the public what we do, but we really had to dumb it down because people are thinking, they automatically think, oh, if I take my kid early, then they're going to need a second phase, a third phase of orthodontics. And that's just not the case with this. Your typical orthodontist, you will have multiple phases if you start your kiddos young. But like the MyoBrace, Healthy Start, they're just myofunctional therapy appliances that help retrain soft tissue dysfunction. So there's like tongue tags on these appliances where it'll train their tongue to go into the proper position, which is in your palate just behind your front teeth. And your tongue's the natural expander for your mouth. So if you have a low tongue posture or a tongue tie, everything kind of collapses in. But the same bone of your palate is the same bone as the nasal passageway.
Right, the bottom of the nasal
passageway. So you collapse, you know, your palate, it becomes even harder to breathe through your nose. So when you breathe through your mouth, you can get up to 40% less oxygen when you sleep, which has all kinds of ramifications, like less REM sleep.
That I understand. Yeah,
so kids get terrible sleep, or adults, and they wake up in the middle, or they wake up in the morning and they're tired. Or so if you're tired and you're driving home from work, you know, what do? You stimulate yourself by rolling down the window, turning up the music, you know, to try to stimulate yourself because you're tired. Well, kiddos are just hyperactive because that's what they're trying to do. They're tired and they're trying to stimulate themselves, right?
Yeah.
And they have lower IQs because they're, you know, they're not getting enough REM sleep. So then they're not getting, their brains aren't getting cleaned, like the neurotoxins aren't being washed off the brain. Exactly.
That's why I see a lot of what I call them the runner moms. Okay, they have this standard look, slightly elongated nose, slightly collapsed in face, super thin, wear yoga pants all the time. And I find that a lot of them have sleep apnea in some of our testing that we're doing on adults. And I think a lot of it has to do with a lack of detection orthodontically. And all of them have braces, but they've had braces to kind of straighten teeth and to get a level bite, but not braces in the sense of, you know, expanding and bringing down the palate and creating more room and taking airway into consideration as well.
It's so funny that you say that because so many people relate sleep apnea with being overweight or having like high BMIs and like a thick neck. But I think one of the highest populations of sleep apnea are little tiny Asian women.
Yes.
You know, it's because their palates are, everything on them is
narrow. You breathe from two ways. You breathe in through your mouth and through your nose. They're connected to each other through the palate, as you mentioned. And so when you have difficulty breathing because we don't have a passageway, you know, it's going to create problems for us.
Well, you're not meant to breathe through your mouth. No. There's no filter. It doesn't warm and moisten the air.
My wife says that about me, that there's no filter when I talk through my mouth.
That's funny. So when there's, you know, a lot of kiddos come in with huge adenoids, like almost obstructive. Yeah. And
people don't want to take them out. What
tonsils.
Is up with people not wanting
to? I don't know. But
I think
they
should mandate that everybody should have the tonsils and adenoids taken out at a young age.
What's neat, though, is if you're not, I mean, I think that if you're obstructive, you need to get those out right away because your sleep, your airway is compromised. But a lot of times when it's not super severe, it can be close to severe. When I see a severe case, I definitely recommend having them out because I don't want their airway to be obstructive. But most of my kiddos that come in and they're about to go get a tonsil adenoidectomy, I say, let's just wait a few months. Like, let me try to transition to nasal breathing. And I would say 99% of the time they don't need it. And their tonsils and adenoids just shrink down because they don't have that air constantly beating them, the allergens, because they're breathing through their nose now. It's impressive.
I want to go to treatment next, okay? But before we go to treatment, I want to talk about some things that have come up in my head. Number one, do you feel comfortable doing this type of treatment, or do you think, is this a potentially a GP-based treatment, or is this truly only for orthodontists?
Oh, no, I think every GP should have this if they practice family dentistry, because they're the first line of defense, because the pediatricians aren't catching it. They'll prescribe Ritalin or a stimulant, which then affects their sleep even more.
I wish my wife was here to hear about this. She's a psychiatrist. So she deals a lot, we see adolescents, but we don't see a lot of kids, but... it's interesting.
The only thing that, so I think GPs are very well equipped with the proper training to do this.
Assuming that.
But there's a lot of cases where I think that they should learn a little bit of orthodontics, like expansion and things like that.
And these are with removable appliances or fixed
removable
appliances?
Sometimes I do fixed. If I see like a really little kid, or maybe a kid with Down syndrome or something that compliance I feel like is going to be a factor, I will do the fixed expanders.
Can you say 80% of cases can be done with removable appliances?
Oh, if not more. I mean, Dr. Lawson likes to start kiddos around age 9. I'll push the envelope. If I feel like they'll be compliant, I could do a 6 or 7 year old.
Because I have an 8 year old and a 10 year old that I think need this, and a 12 year old that I think need this.
And what's nice about the Shores appliances is that not only
the Shores. How do you spell
Shorts?
That?
Shorts.
The Schwartz appliance.
Yes.
Like from Spaceballs, I see your Schwartz is bigger than mine.
Yes. So with these,
I didn't think you were old enough to remember that.
I remember Spaceballs vaguely. Yeah.
This movie we watched on YouTube has a rewind.
Right. So funny. These appliances, you can dictate where you place the screws. Mm-hmm. So say they have like a blocked out premolar or a canine or something, you can add a screw in the center. You can put it on the right to help open space for a certain
And if you do the maxilla, what about the mandibles? Does it just automatically follow?
It does follow suit a lot of times, but if you have teeth that are severely blocked out, I'll do one on the lower two. And that's not really true expansion. That is, like you were saying earlier, that's more like tipping. Uprighting the teeth. Not so much tipping, but uprighting them, and then it does make a little bit of space.
But if the earlier you catch it, the better you're going to get growth, and as you continue to grow, things will kind of catch up, I
assume. Well, this is the thing with myofunctional therapy, is you want to capture their growth phase. Mm-hmm. So, like, by age 7, 70% of facial growth is complete. And their teeth,
70% of facial growth is complete.
So you want to capture these growth phases as they're occurring, so then you can help guide the teeth in the right position. You can help the face grow right. Like Maya Brace likes to say, unlock your genetic potential. You can have kiddos, I don't want to say that they're unattractive, but they become much more attractive.
You can do plastic surgery for this.
I mean, they become such much more attractive kids.
You develop a natural class one and, you know, a natural
more space, symmetry,
like facial profile.
I see kiddos that
droopy eyes.
Suck their thumb. Well, that's from not like getting REM sleep. Yeah. Like you have that darkening, the venous pooling under your eyes. But I see kiddos, I always know if they're like a thumb sucker or if they're binky or if they had like a habit where they bit on one side. Because I see kiddos where their eyes are higher, their ears are higher. And that's from whatever they've been sucking on. It shifts their whole facial platform.
So if I do it on this side.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. And sometimes kiddos, when we take their first pictures, they're standing there and they tilt their head a certain way. And that's for airway issues.
Or forward head posture.
Those class twos, you always know forward head posture. And it just throws everything off.
I thought it was all because we're watching our phones.
Right. That could be. Yeah. That's adding to it, right? Yeah.
So if you don't mind, briefly, give me 4 or 5 things that every general dentist can see that would give us a sign that these patients should consider, or these kids should consider this type of treatment, or talk to the parents about this type of treatment. What things should I be looking for?
Well, first thing first, when they're in the reception room, if they are bouncing off the wall like a crazy person, that might be a sign, right? Okay. You kicked him out of the practice.
Yeah.
No, so that's a funny thing. Not all kids are like that. But
I get it.
So you're a tongue tie.
Okay.
Open bites, super deep bites, cross bites, just class three.
Okay.
Like just, you know, you look at
general
the bite all the time. Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
I mean, crowding.
So these patients that I typically say, oh, you need orthodontic treatment, what you're saying is we should be considering maybe a more specific type.
Well, the biggest thing I think is that we should catch this earlier.
Right.
You know, we see a kiddo.
Early as in how old? 6 years old, 7 years old?
I have a couple of three-year-olds. I don't typically say let's treat a three-year-old because they, it just depends on compliance.
Right.
But if they are having a lot of issues, like a lot of Down syndrome parents just beg you.
How long have you been doing this?
Well, I've been doing it since I got out of school, about 2 years. But Dr. Lawson has trained me, you know, for the past 13 years on function, airway. I think that, I mean, a good way to start is just to take like a MyoBrace course or a Healthy Start course or a myofunctional therapy course. There's myofunctional therapy courses out there.
Yeah, I was thinking about sending my hygienist to that and my sleep coordinator.
Hygienists make amazing myofunctional therapists.
And my sleep coordinator, because, you know, part of getting better sleep apnea results for adults is teaching them to nasal breathe.
For sure.
Getting the, you know, teaching them to close the lips, lip taping, different things along those lines. To enhance nasal breathing, because as we don't use it, we lose it. So if we can relearn that technique, we can actually learn, the body
For
can learn
sure.
to reopen some of these passages.
This forced nasal airway, it just changes the cells in your nose even.
Right.
So I think hygienists make amazing myofunctional therapists because, I don't know, there's
Let's
just
talk about
certain...
the economics of this.
Okay.
And I hate bringing this up, okay? Actually, I don't hate it, but I don't want people to take this the wrong way. If we want to go into something, we want to certainly be rewarded for it economically.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
There's certainly a part of it that where the patient is going to live a better life. So that's certainly much better than doing fillings, for goodness sakes.
Yep.
Okay. So What kind of fees associated with this type of treatment?
I would say I think the average fee is like is probably like $4,000.
Okay. And what does that include typically?
That includes, well, it depends. So one of the orthodontic practice that I work for, it's around $4,000 for the kiddos for a 24-month program.
Okay.
But the doctor only needs to see the patient every few months when we're switching out the appliances.
So that means when you say the doctor, you mean the orthodontist or you?
Either one of us.
Either one of us.
Yeah.
Okay.
So when we're switching out appliances. And other than that, they can see the myofunctional therapist.
Okay.
And what's nice about this is that you don't even have to always come into the office. We do a lot of FaceTimes because we have patients from all over the country.
Interesting.
So, so we can do FaceTimes.
So they might come in once every couple of months?
Well, we like to touch base with them once a month. I mean, helps with compliance.
Physical face-to-face.
Physical face-to-face, it can be every few months.
Okay.
Because we like to switch out the appliances. There's certain appliances for certain things. And we like to progress through, like, some of the appliances have expanders built right in them. So the orthodontic office we do, it's a 24 month where we do myofunctional therapy and all of that.
What about the GP office?
The GP office.
Because you brought this therapy to the GP.
Well, he was actually doing Healthy Start when
the
I came.
GP
the GP
that
was,
you're,
yeah.
Okay.
So I don't know how I ended up with an
it
office that does it. Yeah,
okay.
Because I read the ad and it said, and I researched him, and then he was doing Healthy Start, and I was like, oh my god.
So how does it work in that practice?
So it's not as hands-on because that's just the nature of Healthy Start. It's more you give them the appliance. You still touch base with them once a month, but it's like a 6 to 9 month
okay, what's
treatment
the fee typically
plan
associated with that?
Around the same, around $4,000. But we
so
don't
no
do a lot of expansion. No.
So this isn't like, I'm sorry, this isn't like early interceptive where we're bracketing and banding or whatever patients at all necessarily.
No, we can though, because I would say so few patients need the orthodontics after because we can get the teeth,
okay,
not like Hollywood straight. Some of them are Hollywood straight.
Sure.
There might be tiny
so you're
rotations.
Talking about, I'm trying to think about myself.
Okay.
And my average listener. None of them, most of them, I shouldn't say none, most of them don't want to have anything to do with putting braces on adolescents and young kids.
Mm-hmm.
But, so you're talking about a treatment choice, and again, we're going to talk about the myo brace and the Healthy Start here in a second.
Mm-hmm.
I keep saying that, okay? But you're talking about this as an alternative possibly to avoiding orthodontic treatment?
Yeah, like I said, the latest study, 92% of kids that started with the age between 5 and 7 never needed braces.
Okay.
However, it's much easier when you can apply brackets, because what we say to them is one practice, we include it with the fee,
okay,
the GP practice, and in the ortho office, we guarantee it at half the cost of braces.
Okay.
If they need it. If they're 80% compliant,
okay,
we track compliance with their activities and daytime wear and nighttime wear. Because
okay,
it looks like a fancy mouth guard you wear a couple of hours a day, 1 to 2 hours a day, and then overnight.
So let's get into the treatment now.
Okay,
so you've used two words consistently, myobrace and Healthy Start. Are they one and the same? Or
no,
are they two
they're
totally
different, but they aim... They have similar philosophies.
Okay.
Aim at addressing the soft tissue dysfunction, tongue placement, airway,
okay,
correcting overbites, overjets. You know, one of the hard, I think, thing to accomplish, well, maybe not so hard, but it's time consuming, is to correct overbites and overjets. And I just had a patient the other day. He reduced 2 millimeters in overbite and 1.5 millimeters in overjet. And he came from April 19th, and I saw him yesterday. So
it's
just
a
little less than a month.
Yeah.
And 2 millimeters in overbite and 1.5 in overjet.
And without brackets?
Without brackets. And he's on the first appliance.
Would you call these functional appliances?
Yeah. So the first one's called a habit corrector with Healthy Start.
Healthy Start is a habit corrector.
Yep.
It's made by a laboratory?
It is.
Specific laboratory, Healthy Start laboratory?
Yep. So
what is the typical lab fee associated with this
lab
product?
Lab fee with that, gosh. I think it's like $700 to
okay,
maybe $900.
It's like
depending
a typical orthotic or something
yeah,
along those lines.
MyoBrace is a little less expensive because it's not custom fit to the patient.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a little more training, I think, with MyoBrace because you have to know which appliance to transition into. Without having, like, Healthy Start gives you a nice prescription, like, this is what you do, this is what you do next. When these symptoms go away, you do this.
Would you ever choose one over the other?
I wish I could make my own. appliance, honestly, because there's things that I love with MyoBrace and there's things that I love with Healthy Start, okay. And I would like to make my own that
you
would
should.
Just marry
maybe,
all of the
maybe
things.
The entrepreneurial side.
Right,
of it.
Right.
Okay.
So I can't say that I love one or the other, but I feel like they're tools in the toolbox. Like you can accomplish this with doing just myofunctional therapy and expansion. So it's not necessarily that you have to go through one of these companies to...
But is there harm in using these appliances?
Oh, no.
No.
I've never seen downside, and either both companies will tell you they've never seen a bad side effect from the appliances.
So maybe I'm dense here, okay? But what I'm trying to figure out is... Is MyoBrace and Healthy Start like BMW is to Mercedes, where you might be a Mercedes guy, so I'm going to go MyoBrace. I like to happen to like BMW. I'm going to go Healthy Start. Or am I missing the boat?
No, I think that Healthy Start
like,
is probably
easier.
Where
should I start learning?
I think Healthy Start is easier for GPs.
Okay.
Like I said, because you take impressions, you take some.
I would love to do that. I'd rather know what's going to happen.
Cephalometric X-ray.
Okay.
You send it to them, and
so
they kind of write down what you do. If you can read. You can do it.
So it's like Invisalign, kind of.
Yes.
Yeah, take an impression, and they give you trays,
yes.
And you
if you can, you know, figure out who's good for mm-hmm. it and who's not. I think that it takes a GP who is good with kids.
You think I can experiment on my kids?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. MyoBrace, you have to be a provider.
So I go take the training.
Yes, exactly. MyoBrace is much more expensive to become a provider.
Sure.
But you get so much more. Yes, exactly.
So is learning to place implants.
So some people like to start with the cheaper side. I think MyoBrace is easier for orthodontists.
To me, it's not about what I would hope for most of my dentists and for myself, at least, is it's not about the product you use. It's about the knowledge you gain to be able to choose which product is appropriate.
Yep.
It's like when you learn implants, and Justin says this, I say this, and my stuff is, at the end of the day, we work with certain companies because that's who we personally like.
Yep.
But at the end of the day, the knowledge should be universally applicable, whether you're using BioHorizons implant or XYZ mm-hmm. implant, right?
Yeah.
So ultimately, to me, it would be about the knowledge.
Yep. So I just think GPs might be have an easier time to start with like a Healthy Start.
Okay.
And then MyoBrace, you have to learn. So with Healthy Start, you don't do any myofunctional therapy exercises. You only give them the appliance. That's why I said it's a lot less hands-on.
Okay.
With MyoBrace, you need a myofunctional therapist or yourself who every month they get new exercises that they do.
Okay.
Tongue strengthening, lips, swallow.
You
could, but if you could send your patients home to watch them on YouTube, but they're not going to be compliant.
Right. No, I get that.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
So what I do is I take the myofunctionally aspect of MyoBrace and I apply it to Healthy Start, but not a lot of people are cross-trained in both systems.
Why have I not heard of this stuff?
I don't know. I think that it's up and coming. I really think it's the future of dentistry. It's a paradigm shift in dentistry, and it really changes kids' lives. Like, it's that important. And I tell parents, like, you can't afford to not do this treatment because it's so important.
Look, in the scheme of things, $4,000 to have a kid that's not ADHD, that may not need orthodontics, it's like a drop in the bucket.
Right? It's getting better sleep. They're smarter. They're better behaved.
How about just the headache of not that they don't give me as a parent, you know, would be fantastic.
Like in China, myofunctional therapy and like other socialized countries with socialized medicine, it's mandatory.
Right. Because it's preventative.
Because preventative, and they don't, you know, they want to eliminate as many ailments down the road. Like, a lot of these kiddos, or a lot of adults that have sleep apnea started off like kids like this.
Can we do this treatment on adults?
So, you can. It takes a lot longer. We do put some people with sleep apnea, very mild, and give them an appliance because it does bring your lower jaw forward, and some,
it
helps them to sleep a little bit better.
What about that kind of stuff?
When they take them out, it's fine. I mean, there is TMD appliances with MyoBrace, so that you can give adults, and I think MyoBrace is easier to use with adults. I don't think Healthy Start will even treat adults.
Interesting.
Not that I don't believe that Healthy Start could help with adults, but it's just not something that they're, like even when I send in a 12-year-old, they're like, well, since they're 12, it'll say on the prescription, they're going to have to wear it like 3 to 4 hours a day. And, but I still like kids.
Can they sleep in these things?
They have to.
Okay.
Yep. So you have to wear it for good quality time during the day, 1 to 2 hours, with your lips closed, breathing through your nose, tongue on the spot, all the stuff that we talked to them about. And then your muscle memory kicks in at night. And So if you're wearing it poorly during the day,
you wear
it poorly at night. But it's so interesting when we see like twins and triplets, and you'll have one that's really small and the other two are normal size.
Could you teach a class on this?
I would love to. I mean, it's definitely a passion of mine, but it's interesting with the little kid. He's always usually the mouth breather.
I think you're going to teach a class for me on this.
I'd love to.
That's what's going to happen. Dr. Baller, shot caller, our time is up. How can our listeners get in touch with you? Where do they find you at? Do you have an email address?
Yes, they can email at me at holly.baller@ucdenver.edu.
So Holly dot Baller, Baller, at
UC Denver.edu.
You haven't left dental school yet?
Everything goes there. I'd have to change too much.
There is this thing called Gmail.
I know, but then I'd have to switch everything else over to my Gmail.
You know, at some point they're going to get rid of your .edu email address. What about Facebook and social media? Are you on these things?
I am. Yep.
Okay, so people can get in touch with you there.
Yep.
So they would just look you up, Holly Baller.
Yep.
Okay, on Facebook.
Yep.
Are you on Instagram too?
Yep.
I'm not on Instagram.
Oh, Instagram's way better than Facebook.
I hear this, but all these...
You don't have to listen to people's rants. It cuts you off at a certain amount.
These pound signs that you have to use.
Now you don't have to use any.
You call them hashtags.
Hashtags.
So I got a funny story. So we were going to our beach house, and we have one of those electronic doors on there. And I was telling my daughter that the code is XYZ pound. Okay.
And she's like, what is that?
So she gets to the door and she's like, it's not working. There's no pound sign on here. I'm like, what are you talking about? My wife leans over and she goes, hashtag.
Hashtag. It's next to the nine.
It's actually next to the zero. But my daughter goes, oh, hashtag. So I was like, wow, I'm way out of touch.
Uh-huh.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
Yep, thanks for having me.
Thank you. Are you kidding me? That was awesome.